6 and younger can be dismissed. 7 and older can stay for the preaching. And the rest of us can turn to Ephesians chapter 3 in our Bibles. When you study the book of Ephesians, it really is a great book. I encourage you to read it. If you get a chance to even read it, start to finish, even in one sitting or in just a short period of time, it'll just thrill your soul with all the great doctrines that the Apostle Paul deals with. It starts off doctrinal. It starts off with all the lofty thoughts of all that Christ has done for us in uniting us in Him and bringing Jew and Gentile together in Christ, the riches, the provisions that are made for us. Then the second half of the book is practical. He talks about husbands loving their wives and wives submitting and reverencing their husbands and children obeying their parents. And guess what? The things that we know, the truths that we enjoy from Christ, they ought to not just stay in our minds. They travel down to our feet for everyday life. And we live for God by laying hold of precious truths, glorious provisions that God has made for us. And as we read Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, by the way, is imprisoned as he writes to this church at Ephesus. But yet he finds great encouragement to write and pray a wonderful prayer for these folks at Ephesus and for all of us today. And he wants them to understand and know by experience the measure of God's love, God's grace, and God's power in their lives. There's a question I want you to consider this morning. How far will we go with God? Or maybe we can put it this way. How far will God go with us? Because so often the problem is not on God's side. It's on our side. So often the problem is we get weary, as I think Brother Avery talked about, how the Lord dealt with him about getting weary in well-doing. And sometimes we are weak in the faith and we're not able to continue advancing in our walk with God, advancing in what God's asked us to do. And you know what? It's a matter of strength. It really is. And in Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 16, part of the Apostle Paul's prayer, he prays that he, that God, would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. I want to preach this morning on strengthening our inner man. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the provisions that you've given to us. Lord, help us as believers not to live this life, Lord, as paupers who are unaware of all the riches you provided for us. Help us not to live this life, Lord, in defeat, in frustration, because that's not your plan. That's not your will. Lord, we have a great reservoir of strength by your Spirit. And I pray that this morning as we study your word that you would just enlighten us, just as Paul prayed for the church of Ephesus, that we would be enlightened, we would understand, and we would obey your word this morning. Would you have your way? Would you be glorified, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'll remind folks, if they'd like to use a nursery, there's some nursery workers that can help and assist with the young children. But this morning, as we look at Ephesians chapter 3, and thinking about this idea of strengthening our inner man. In the 1970s, there was a man by the name of Jim Fix. And he started a craze that now is just considered normal. He started a craze called running. In other words, people before didn't used to just run around the neighborhood just for fun. You had to be maybe on a sports team or a track team. But Jim Fix literally wrote the book on running. It's called The Complete Book of Running in the 1970s. And he traveled the world giving talks and showing people and enlightening people on the health benefits and effects of running and jogging. And I'm sure many today, maybe in this room, maybe you like to go running regularly. I know one of our brothers, Leslie, likes to go running 6 miles, 6 miles on one run, Brother Horace. And he told me that. I said, brother, even when I had 2 good legs, I couldn't run 6 miles. But some people, we understand that the health benefits of running, it helps us physically. And Jim Fix was a healthy man by all accounts, a vibrant man with a lot of vitality. But yet at the age of 52, while running, On a tree-shaded path in Vermont, he collapsed and died of a heart attack. See, Jim Fix had a lot of things going for him outwardly, but see, inwardly, he had some clogged arteries. He had some cholesterol issues. He had some issues internally that he hadn't been dealing with. And eventually, it's exactly what killed him. In fact, he had three main arteries were 80% clogged. And so although outwardly he seemed to be quite the athlete, inwardly there were some serious issues that he had to deal with. And I want to just use that for us to think as an analogy, spiritually speaking, that we would desire to be strengthened, not just in our outward man, but that we would be strengthened in our inner man, as Paul prays here. Our private ministry with God comes before our public ministry with men. In Sunday school, we started studying how Jesus called the 12 disciples. And you know what? They were going to go out and do some great things. They were going to go out and heal the sick. They're going to go out and raise the dead to life. They're going to go out and cast out demons. They're going to go out and preach the gospel. And they had an exciting ministry that laid ahead of them. But before Christ sent them out, he said, first, I want you to be with me. Before you go out, I want you to follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Their first calling wasn't just to go out and do some great, exciting public thing so that people can point and say, look how great they are, those apostles. No, their first calling was to just sit at Jesus' feet. Their first calling was to spend time with the Savior. Understand the voice of the shepherd. Learn his ways. Learn his desires. Learn his will. That was their first calling. And I submit to you this morning, that's our first calling as well. In Acts chapter 6, we read about a great stirring in the church over how to have the needs met for some of the widows. And so they decided to ordain deacons. That's where we see the first deacons established in Acts chapter 6. And these deacons were to be spirit-filled men. And the Bible says these deacons were to fulfill a role so that the pastors can give themselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. Now, when God called me to preach, I was excited for, wow, the ministry of the word. Being able to preach the Bible, being able to study the Bible, being able to teach Sunday school classes or disciple people. And those are great, exciting things. But I must never forget that first, it's to give myself to prayer. Prayer, then the ministry of the word. That order is important. And the reality is sometimes we like the public aspect of life where things can, when people can point to things and see things about us that are nice and good and wow, we're so honorable and presentable. But amidst all of that, we ought to take time to say, Lord, my inner man. Lord, I want to make sure that it's not just a show, it's not just a big production, but that I'm the real deal, that I'm walking with you, that I'm living your life, I'm following your will, that I'm not just putting on a front. That ought to be our mission, our endeavor. And one of the greatest fears that I have is to succeed in fulfilling a public role where people can see and point to and say, wow, look at this, look at that. We can succeed publicly but fail in spending that quiet time with God. Fail in spending that quality time with God. That's a danger for anyone in the Lord's work, is that we like the physical public things. You know, even let's say in raising our children, we want to make sure that they behave right in public, that they do what's right. But let's make sure, first of all, they are right. Their character, their heart is panning after God. That is not just doing something just because mama said, or doing something because people are watching us. No, we do it because we're walking with Christ and we love him. There's a big difference there. So when Paul says being strengthened in our inner man, he wants us to have the internal things dealt with first before we deal with the outward things. And some people, their entire Christian life is really a house of cards. What I mean by that, it's something that's not substantial, that it's not really secure, and any little trial that comes along, it's all just going to come crashing down. The foundations are not secure. They're not rooted in Christ as they ought to be. There are some families that way. There are some ministries that way where outwardly, maybe things look right, but inwardly there's some serious problems. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Their priority was following him, walking with him. You know, I'm burdened for a generation of young people that grow up in churches that are challenged and taught, do this and do that and don't do this and don't do that. And that's good. That's important. The Bible gives us a lot of teachings and a lot of commandments. But those same people are never taught how to walk with God. They're only taught how to do that, how to keep the laundry list of rules. They're only taught how to just follow other people's expectations, but they're never taught how to truly walk with Christ. And their inner man suffers. And it's no wonder when they get a chance to go out and there's maybe no expectations or no rules that people are putting on them, then they just go off into the deep end and they leave God behind. They never dealt with the internal issues. They never strengthened their inner man. First, this morning, I want us to consider we must be strengthened with might. Verse 16 says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. This word might is a Greek word that comes from the root word dunamis, which is also used to refer to miracle working ability or power. And so when Jesus Christ walked this earth, he displayed might and power. He had that miracle working power. He healed the sick. He caused the lame to walk again. He set the captive free. And this is the same strength God wants to give to you and to me. God wants to empower us so that in our lives, we can live in victory, not in defeat. We don't have to be the kind of Christians that we live time after time in defeat with occasional victory. And wow, I actually did well today. No, it could be such that we are walking with the Lord and maybe there's just those occasional times of defeat. But mostly, we're following on, pressing on in victory. That's the will of God. That's what God wants to give us. And he wants us to be strengthened with might. We need this strength in our life and in our service to God. This is the strength it takes to serve God continually. A lot of people serve God, but not continually. They start off right, but they get sidetracked. They get distracted. They get weary in well-doing. But this is the strength to serve God with longevity for the long haul, where we're not just here today, gone tomorrow in our service to God. And this is the kind of strength that doesn't come from ourselves. We often sing the hymn, stand up for Jesus. Stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. Ye dare not trust your own. The Christian life is not about you and your own strength saying, I'm going to do the best I can. Or I'm going to try even harder. I'm going to dig deep and start doing this and start doing that. The strength does not come from you. The strength comes from God. That's where it comes from. And the reality is, in our ministry, in our Christian circles, there's a lot of casualties. There's a lot of people that, again, started off serving God, but they fell by the wayside. It's because they were relying on their own strength and not God's. You know, I love bringing in some of the preachers that have been around for a long time. Guys like Brother Gary Gilmore. He was just here for us in June, and we also had Brother Kaywall preach for us, Ron Prasad, our missionary in Trinidad, been in ministry over 50 years. And we see the spiritual vitality that they have, and I note that, and I wonder, and I say, you know what, that's because they took time to strengthen their inner man. They are relying on a strength that is not their own, especially at maybe we could say their stage in life. They're relying upon the strength of God, his might, his power in their lives. Verse 16 tells us the source of this strength, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might. There's a supply. It's the riches of his glory. There's a reservoir that's unlimited. It's available for us. That's unlimited. We can never tap it out. We can continue tapping into the strength that God wants to give us to live the Christian life. And so maybe there's times that we feel our tank is on empty. Maybe there's sometimes we feel like we don't have enough strength to go on. God tells us, according to my riches and glory, I can strengthen you in your inner man. That means parents raising children in a wicked world. Maybe there's defeat. Maybe there's discouragement. Maybe there's frustration. But God says, I can strengthen you according to my riches and glory to continue raising those kids, to continue confronting the devil in their lives, to continue raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I can give you the strength to do that. And not to give up. I can give you the strength to fight for your marriage, to do right, to stay pure, to stay right with God. I can do that. I can give you the strength to be a witness in public, at the job, in the schoolyard. I can give you the strength to do that. That's what the Bible is telling us here. This is the strength to continue serving the Lord. This is the strength for conflict, for combat. The Christian life really is a battle. We're in a war, a spiritual war. And the reality is, if we are not strengthened, we're not going to be prepared for the battle. If we're not strengthened by God's might, we're going to lose the battle. If you go with me to Ephesians chapter 6, just a few chapters away, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word stand means to literally stand against, to do battle against, to resist, to combat. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. There are many Christians today that are getting tired of standing. And so they give up. It doesn't happen all in one shot. It just happens little by little. They give up in this area. They give up in that area. They compromise here. They compromise there. And they're getting tired of standing, getting tired of resisting the enemy. It's because they're doing it in their own strength. They're not relying upon the strength and the power of God. But God promises to give us the strength to withstand an enemy even as fierce as Satan. He gives us the strength. And you know what? As we live the Christian life, if you're involved in ministry and serving the Lord, you know the reality is we are literally storming into enemy territory sometimes. When we go out and give the gospel, when we go out and encourage Christians to live the right kind of a life, we're storming into enemy territory, and sometimes he doesn't like that, does he? And he can raise up a stir. But God promises that I can give you the strength to withstand the enemy, to continue serving with longevity, this divine strength and might God wants to give to us. But as we go back to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, we need to be strengthened with might. But secondly, this strength comes by his Spirit. To be strengthened with might by his Spirit. This strengthening comes from the Holy Spirit. If you've been around a while, you've seen people that get fired up, charged up, and it's not long before they just simply give up. You've seen people that start off like a rocket. They take off, boom. Wow, they're really going off for the Lord, but then it's not too long before that rocket just comes crashing down. I say that because it's so sad, and I see it far too often. And the reality is we cannot let our flesh, our own energy, be what leads us to serving God. The arm of flesh will fail you, as we just sang in that song. We can't rely upon ourselves. We rely upon the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is the one that strengthens us. That's what Paul is getting at. This divine strength doesn't come from us, but it is transmitted to us by the Spirit. The reality is that from the very throne of heaven, the Spirit of God transmits to us the energy, the passion, the desire, the ability to live the Christian life. So don't be surprised when you don't feel like reading your Bible, because the flesh never wants to read the Bible. Don't be surprised when you don't feel like coming to church regularly, because the flesh doesn't want to do those types of things. The flesh doesn't want to pray. The flesh doesn't want to be a witness. But we crucify our flesh, put our flesh to death, and we yield ourselves to the Spirit of God. And there's a transmission of power, of strength, and might where the Spirit of God now causes us to do right, to read the Word, to be in church, to be a witness, to be the right kind of spouse, to be the right kind of parents, to be the right kind of children in the home. The Spirit of God is the one that does that for us. But it does start with recognizing I need to set aside my flesh and I need to embrace and walk in the Spirit of God. It's transmitted to us, this strength, this power, this might. And so we can't separate the power from the Spirit. It comes from Him and Him alone. And a lot of people have different ideas about the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of error and misconceptions about the Holy Spirit. I heard a child one time explaining to his friend about the Holy Spirit. He said, listen, we as Baptists believe in the Holy Spirit, but Pentecostals, they believe in the Holy Ghost. And a lot of people have different ideas, misconceptions, but we have to stick to what the Word of God teaches us. The Word of God is very clear that the Holy Spirit is a person. And the sad thing is, because of some of the abuse, we could say, of some groups of going beyond the Bible, some have gone the other way and completely neglected the Holy Spirit, and they really have neglected God. They've neglected the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. He comes to indwell us, the Bible says, at the moment of salvation. You read about that in the book of Romans, chapter 8, that when we call on Christ, He indwells us. And that's how we know we're in Christ. He indwells us. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, that He seals us. We're sealed unto the day of redemption. That means anyone that's called on Christ, that's repented of their sin and placed their faith in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit, and He has you, and you're sealed unto the day of redemption. That's what the Bible teaches us. We sing this song often, oh, what a salvation this, that Christ liveth in me. And that's the reality. The Holy Spirit of Christ comes to live and indwell with us. And here in Ephesians chapter 3, that's what Paul gets to in verse number 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That word dwell is the idea of make your dwelling place, your habitat. You don't just come as a guest and, hey, I'm just going to be here for a little while. No, you come and you establish your roots there. You come to stay. You've come to indwell. That's the reality of the Holy Spirit of Christ in us. And He comes to indwell us. And it starts when we're saved and we're born again, that the Spirit of God comes in and creates that new birth that we preach of. Salvation is not just saying the words of a prayer. Salvation is not just coming to an altar. Salvation is receiving Christ and receiving the Holy Spirit of Christ in us. We call on Him and He enters into us. The Holy Spirit, He indwells us, but He also desires to fill us. If you go to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16, I'm sorry, verse 18, Ephesians 5 and verse 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, the Bible gives this as a command, and it's a continual command. We could say continue being filled with the Spirit. Here's the great truth about the Holy Spirit. There's only one indwelling. We're saved only one time. We're indwelt by the Spirit only one time. But there are many fillings. There are many fillings, and this filling is the idea of the Holy Spirit using us, enabling us, and empowering us. That means each day I ought to set aside my flesh and yield myself to be filled by the Holy Spirit. That also means, sadly, that there are Christians that are indwelt, but they're not filled. They're saved, but they're walking in the flesh. And it shows. And the reality is sometimes our flesh rears its ugly head. And one preacher said this, unsaved flesh and saved flesh, it's really hard to tell them apart sometimes. It's really hard to tell them apart because they're walking in the same wicked flesh that was at one time condemning them to hell. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit. This is a yielding of ourselves for Holy Spirit to control us. And this strength and might that the Bible promises is not just a force or a power, but it really is a person, the Holy Spirit using us. So we're to be strengthened with might by the Spirit. But then thirdly this morning, we're strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. The inner man. You know, the central part of us is really the inside of us. We focus so much on the exterior, and that's to our shame. The Bible teaches that man is what you could say a trichotomy. We're made up of body, soul, and spirit. And you know, it's unfortunate that our culture bombards us and tempts us to only focus on our bodies. And so we only focus on how much we weigh, or how good we look, or how tall we are, how short we are, and all the changes that we have to make. And our culture, all it does is has us focus on our physical bodies. And it's a deception from the enemy so that we never deal with the real part of us, our inner man, our spirit, and our soul. The soul of man is his intellect, emotion, and will. That's been corrupted by the fall. And the spirit, that's the part of man where God enters in. The Holy Spirit enters in. That part is dead before salvation, but is made alive when we trust Christ. And the sphere, the central location that God strengthens us, is not our outward man, but our inner man, our spirit. And so when we talk about having strength to serve the Lord, we're not talking about having a lot of muscles. I'm not talking about being big and tall and strong. Because you study the Bible, there's been some big, tall, and strong people that were weak spiritually. Samson, ever heard of Samson? Strongest man in all the Bible. He went to town and carried the town's gates off with him. That's how strong he was. Samson was a brute, a force to be reckoned with, physically speaking. But spiritually, he was just a shrimp. Spiritually, temptation comes, he would fall for it. Spiritually, Samson was weak. King Saul, the Bible says he stood head and shoulders above everyone. He's a really tall guy, probably a pretty strong guy. But we know how wicked he turned out in rejecting the God that called him and placed him as king, and he sinned greatly. He was the people's choice, but he was rejected by God. So we're not talking about our outward man. No, we get too good at that. You know, the Pharisees, that's what Jesus accused them of. He accused them of just whitewashing the exterior and never dealing with the interior. And we're really good at being like that. We're really good at putting on a nice front that everything looks nice, everything is going well, everything is fine, and we never really deal with the root issues in our lives. Strengthening comes by the Spirit in our inner man. The inner man is just as real as our physical body. And just as we understand the importance of taking care of our physical bodies, we mentioned that in Sunday school, we ought to eat right. We ought to take care of our bodies. Our bodies are a temple for the Holy Spirit. But ultimately, we go just beyond the physical. We deal with our inner man, our soul, and our spirit. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." The outward man is perishing. That means each and every day we're getting weaker and weaker. You know, I'm 31 years old now, and I remember really it did happen right as I hit 30. There's that wall you hit where things start to slow down a little bit. And things start to change a little bit. And I used to be able to eat whatever I wanted. Nothing would happen. Now something's happening. And now I can notice the outward man really is perishing. The outward man is perishing. Why do we put so much focus on the outward man? Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And you know, the reality is as we get older in Christ, yes, our physical bodies may let us down, but spiritually we ought to be getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And this morning, maybe there are some people I'm looking at that maybe physically speaking, you're a little bit feeble and frail and eyes aren't what they used to be and ears aren't what they used to be. But take heart in the fact that spiritually God has grown you to such a place that you can be strong in your inner man. That you are strengthened with might in your inner man because of the Holy Spirit, because of Christ. Now I know that as we deal with our inner man, it ought to spread to our outer man. I'm not denying that. I'm not neglecting that. yes, when we get things settled in our inner man, it will spread to our outer man. We're going to do what's right. We're going to act right. We're going to talk right. We're going to dress right. But I'm saying before we deal with some of those things, let's make sure we deal with the internal issues. We're too good at externalism. Let's deal with the root, the heart of the matter. It's our inner man. Many people are too consumed with methodology today. Do this, do that, go here, go there. There's no shortcuts in life. There's no shortcuts to this Christian life thing. And you know, I'm discovering that too, even as a pastor, as a preacher, there's really no shortcuts. It's just that the simple notion of sitting at Jesus' feet and walking with him, you can never bypass that. You know, I see a lot of articles, and I always enjoy those articles too. I kind of like them sometimes. 3 easy steps to be a good Christian. 3 easy steps to preach a good message on Sunday morning. Oh, okay, let me read that and do those 3 things. And we like that. All right, do this, do that. Instead of, you know what? It just takes time with God. You cannot replace that. You cannot overrule that. Spending the time with God. I believe as Christians, we ought to have standards and convictions for our lives. We ought to decide not to compromise. We ought to decide to be a holy people. But it ought to start first with strengthening our inner man and walking with Christ, loving Christ, living for Christ. We shouldn't replace that. But too many times we overlook that. We just skip right over to the externals. Isn't it something that those things which people can't see, that's what matters the most? The things that people can never see are the things that will actually strengthen us in our inner man. You know, people can't see how often you read your Bible or pray. People can't see if you truly are trusting the Lord or trusting your flesh. People can't see that. I can't see that. But it's those things that will strengthen us. It's those things that will allow us to have victory in the Christian life. And so this morning, that's what I want to challenge us with. To deal beyond just the physical, beyond just the externals, and get to the root, to the heart, to the inner man. If you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 54, Isaiah 54 and verse number 2. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 2. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. Now, this is a beautiful illustration dealing with the visible and the invisible, you could say. And there's a reality that we can enlarge our ministry. We can enlarge our success before men. We can enlarge what people see, our influence. But we had better make sure that we strengthen the stakes and lengthen the cords. Those things that are in the interior that keep the whole thing up. Some people, they expand the tent. They expand it. Everyone says, wow, how great, how special. But like I said before, it's a house of cards. And the foundation is not secure. And one day it'll all just come crashing down. May it not be so in our Christian life, in our families, and in our church. Take the time to strengthen the stakes, loosen the cords. As you build your tent, take care of the inner man, the personal walk with God, that personal relationship with God. I mentioned some of those older preachers that I'm so fond of, and some of them have some serious health issues. You know, Brother K. Wall shared with us that he's battling Parkinson's and a little bit of Alzheimer's, and he would tell you his outer man is perishing. But when he stood up here and preached on that Sunday night, he preached for almost an hour. He preached with such power, and you just knew the Spirit of God was upon him. He preached with such boldness. And it was beyond just preaching. My wife and I had the chance to have lunch with him a couple of times during the week. He walks with God. And you're just with him, you're around him, you know it. That's a man that's strengthened in his inner man. His outer man is weak, he has some health issues, but he's walked with God, and it shows. That's what we're talking about this morning. On the other hand, there's a preacher that I've heard of, and I've shared this testimony before. It's a sad case. A preacher that had an up-and-coming ministry. And the church was growing, Christian school was started. The church moved to a new location, bought a property, and built a new building. And church is growing in size, doubling in size, and things are looking great. Things are wonderful. Things are happening. But then it turns out the preacher had a drinking problem. And he was so drunk one day he even came to church as a drunk. Well, that church had to do the right thing. That church dismissed him to deal with that sin. And that preacher never really made it right. And unfortunately, he left that church, left his family, eventually wandered in sin, bouncing from relationship to relationship, from sin to sin. And eventually, I found out a few years ago that he died. Only about 50 years old, he died, was still living in sin, leaving behind just a lot of shame, a lot of, I'm sure, regrets along the way. What happened there? Outwardly, everything was going great. Outwardly, we could say the place of the tent was enlarged. But I believe he never took time to strengthen the stakes and loosen the cords. He never dealt with his inner man. I believe that preacher let some things go in his inner man and his inner personal walk with God that he should have never let get by. And eventually, he had to pay the price. Now, that's just an extreme case, I'm sure. I'm not trying to scare you to thinking that every single one of us are going to go off and do that. But I am warning all of us and warning myself that we had better make sure that we're not just focused on externalism. We had better make sure that we have a personal walk with Jesus, that we're spending time with him, we're sitting at his feet, we're learning of him, and we're trusting and following him. Someone said this, may we be what we ought to be before we do what we ought to do. Let's pray together this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and the truth that it gives to us. And Lord, our desire is that we would be strengthened, Lord. We don't want to live in weakness and defeat. Lord, help us to realize that strength comes from your Spirit. And Lord, help us to recognize that strength starts with our inner man. Lord, help us not to overlook those personal things that really make the Christian life genuine. Lord, help us not to get so focused on our outer man that we neglect the inner man. Help us not to get so focused on externalism that we forget that inner personal walk with you. Lord, may we yield ourselves to the Spirit to be used by you. Lord, may we see victory. May we see longevity as we serve you. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning and no one looking around, and I wonder if anyone's come in this morning that would say, Pastor, I'm not even sure if I've been saved. I'm not even sure if I died right now, if I'd go to heaven or if I'd go to hell. I'm concerned about my eternity. I'm concerned about whether I'm saved or I'm still lost. Would you please pray for me? Would you slip your hand up this morning if that's you? Say, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I want to make sure. I want to get this settled. I want to take care of this. I'm not sure if I'm saved. We want to pray for you. Is there anyone that would say, Pastor, please pray for me? I wonder how many believers would say, Pastor, I need strength. I need that divine might to be able to serve the Lord. I don't want to see defeat. I don't want to see weariness and giving up. I'm concerned. Would you pray for me that I be strengthened? Would you pray for me this morning? If that's you, would you raise your hand? Oh, praise the Lord. Many hands are up. I believe this morning we can cry out to God, and that's a prayer he'd love to answer. According to his riches and glory, he'd love to answer that prayer. But it starts with understanding it's yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit. God's not going to strengthen an unwilling servant, someone that wants to do their own thing. God will strengthen the one that submits himself to him, that submits to him, yields themselves to him. Those are the kind of folks that God strengthens. Let's all stand together. Let's stand and pray. Father, would you work in our hearts? Would you have your way during this time of invitation? And Lord, may we access your strength today to serve you continually. Lord, strengthen us, we pray. As the pianist begins to play softly, if you want to come to this altar, if you want to come and seek the Lord's face, seek that strength, seek his Spirit, you come now. Maybe, you're not sure if you're saved. You've never made a decision to trust Christ alone as your Savior. get my attention. We'd love to show you from the Bible what it means to be saved. Don't leave here with any questions or doubts. But Christian friend, can I just encourage you, submit yourself to God, yield yourself to His Spirit, and He will strengthen you. Do you need that strength this morning? Have you been wary? Have you seen yourself giving up in certain areas? Are you continually pushing yourself to do right, but you're failing? God promises that divine might, that divine strength by His Spirit in our inner man. Lord, we want to be the real deal for You. Lord, we don't want to just play church or make a show of our Christian life. Lord, we do want success in the sense of we do want souls saved. We do want to reach more people. We do want to see growth in our lives. But Lord, ultimately, we just want to be with You, walk with You. But ultimately, we want to just be led by Your Holy Spirit. Father, help us not to neglect those quiet things, those invisible things that man can't see. Lord, help us to make sure that we spend that time, that we do strengthen ourselves in You and our inner man. Father, I pray that we would be giants spiritually, that we would determine in and of ourselves, Lord, that we would wholly depend upon You. Lord, as we rely upon that strength of that comes from all Your riches and glory, that immeasurable, that unlimited resource, Lord, help us to never give up. Help us not to throw in the towel. Help us to stay at it and to keep serving You, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.